right. Thank you, Bethany and Praise Team. I appreciate you very much. Good to see you all. I feel like it's been a while since I was standing up here, right? Galatians chapter number 5 is where I want you to go in your Bibles this morning. The book of Galatians chapter number 5 is where we'll be beginning today. Hope you had a good week. It's kind of a different week, isn't it, with a holiday in between, 2 weeks in a row, and trying to get back on schedule and things. And many of you have been traveling. As I mentioned in my prayer, it's great to see Pam back with us. We praise the Lord for how well she's done. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. And we know that we serve a God that hears and answers prayers. And we thank God for His work in your life, Pam. Good to see you. And good to see many that have been traveling, as I already mentioned. In the 6 months, or almost 6 months I've been here, I guess I got here in July, we've been doing a lot of topical messages and going in different subjects and things. And for the next month or so, maybe a little more, we're going to be working our way verse by verse through the book of Galatians chapter number 5, specifically the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And talking about, as we go into this new year, what it really looks like to be a Christian, what it really looks like in our lives and what we exhibit and how we exhibit those things. In Galatians, we understand that there, if we talk through the whole book, which I probably will at some point, there's a discussion taking place between law and grace, between the Judaizers and those that would understand that the Christian life is performed and up to a certain standard, and then the Apostle Paul, who is teaching grace and living by grace. And as we get to Galatians 5, at the end of this chapter here, the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 16, begins to lay out what it looks like with your own abilities. And then in verse number 22, begins to list what is called the fruits of the Spirit and what we exhibit when we're under the control and the power of the Spirit of God. Now here's the situation. As we get to the fruits of the Spirit, we will be doing in the coming weeks. Verse 22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law." And so we read these characteristics or these attitudes of a Christian, and it's easy for us to say, well, I'm not a very loving person. I've joked about this before. People say, well, I'm not very loving. Let someone else be loving. That's not the question in verse 22. It's not saying whether you are naturally loving or whether you're not naturally loving, but the Spirit produces love. The verse 22 also says that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And some people say, well, I'm not a joyful person. And I'm going to explain to you as we study through this the difference between joy and happiness. Joy is something that comes from God. Happiness can come from a meal at McDonald's, all right? Or whatever it may be, or whatever you're, that's what brings happiness to some of my children, specifically Karis, okay? But true joy comes from the Lord. And so we say, well, I'm just a bitter, upset person. I'm just not joyful. And the answer would be, I know, but the Spirit is joyful, and He can produce joy in your life. And so we have to quit making excuses, Christians, for why these are not seen in our lives, because the truth is, and this is hard to hear, when these things are not evident, these are areas that we are demonstrating we have not surrendered to the Holy Spirit in. That's what it's demonstrating. It is indicating that that is an area in which we have not allowed the Spirit to control our life. Therefore, we're not loving, we're not kind, we're not joyful, we have no peace, and we're upset all the time because those are areas in which we have not surrendered to the Spirit of God. And now I'm getting ahead of myself. This is 3 weeks ahead, all right? And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the works of the flesh. And it's not fun. I'm just going to warn you. These are not easy to go through. But nevertheless, it's almost like, this is what I want you to understand, it's almost like, and I probably need Corrigan to come up and explain this better than myself, but it's like working out, all right? And sometimes, and you can tell I work out a lot, right? I mean, it is evident, right? And so anyway, it's like working out, and sometimes you have to break down the muscle to get it to build back, right? A little stronger. And that's what these verses are going to do. They're going to break us down a little bit. They're going to let us see what we really are in our own power. They're going to let us see what we really act like and what we really live like except for by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we live by God's power and not our own. And so he begins in verse number 16. He says this, "This I say then," verse 16, "walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit. That is a manner in which we are living. When you walk, you have made a decision to do so, right? If you walk in a certain direction, I try to walk to the church often to get exercise and steps in. And when I do that, I make a decision to do that. And so he says in verse 16, walk in the Spirit. It's a decision, it's a direction, it's a way of life. And then he says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is who we are naturally. Do you understand? The flesh is who we are naturally. Now, there may be different levels of corruption, but the flesh is who we are naturally. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because here's the deal. There's really a battle going on. There's a battle going on between that which is right and that which is what I want to do in my flesh, right? I'm just going to give some simple examples. You understand these examples. I often use driving, and we live in a small town. I know there's not a stoplight in the entire county, and so we don't have a whole lot of situations. But if you go to Denver, right, you're going to have a good time. Right? And you're going to find people who don't drive like you do and don't yield and merge like you do. And the flesh is when someone cuts you off and you really want to tailgate them and tell them what a terrible driver they are, or flash your lights or whatever. That's the flesh, right? It's when somebody says something to you and you want to say something back. Oh, man, that's hard, right? Someone says something to you and you want to just tell them how wrong they are, right? It's when the restaurant gets your order wrong and everybody knows that they got it wrong because you were the one that told them that they did. That's the flesh. Then there's all kinds of illustrations. It's wanting what we want. It's responding how we want to respond. It's living the way that we want to live. He says, don't fulfill the lust, or another way to say lust, is the desires of the flesh. It's when someone drives up beside you in a 2023 Ford F-250 diesel and you want it. Does anybody else struggle with that? Right? It's that lust, it's those desires that we have. And it's those things that come naturally to us. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are what? Contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you want. There's a battle going on. The Spirit wants to lead you into righteousness and holiness, and the flesh wants to fulfill its own desires and its own lust. The Bible says that these two are warring and battling against each other, and the Spirit would lead you to the ways of God. But then he says in verse number 17, and these are contrary one to another. I just read this, but he says this, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And we could talk about that another time. But in verse number 19, he says this, and we get to these works. And again, these are going to break us down a little bit. Because sometimes until we see ourselves realistically, we aren't really willing to change. We aren't really willing to walk in the Spirit because we think we're okay. We think we're doing good enough, right? The good old boy syndrome. I do a little bit, or I help a little bit, but our actions and our lives and our attitudes don't characterize the Spirit. They characterize the flesh. So the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, begins to list them for us so we would recognize them, so we would know what they are, and so we would flee from them and begin to live by the power of the Spirit of God and not according to our own flesh. We all deal with these things in our lives. Even as a Christian, doesn't mean that the flesh doesn't still have its own desires. Amen? Since you've been saved, have you ever had a wrong thought? Don't raise your hand. We'll have to change the sermon, right? You know, have you ever had a wrong thought? You ever had a wrong desire? You ever wanted to do something that was contrary to the Word of God? It's a battle. And so Paul lists these things so we can be aware of them. He says in verse number 19, the works of the flesh are manifest. These are known. They reveal themselves. Which are these? And I won't need to explain all of these. Adultery. That which is against God. Adultery. We understand what that means. It's wanting someone that is not yours or committing acts that are not according to the Word of God in marriage. It's a work of the flesh. The Spirit does not lead in that direction. He lists another one, fornication. And again, these are not sermon titles that you enjoy going through, but nevertheless, the Word of God has included them, but they're breaking us down to help us see what the flesh really looks like, and He's showing us how wrong and away from God the works of the flesh are. He says adultery, fornication. We understand in this portion of Scripture, in verse number 19, the word fornication is the Greek root word for porneia. You'll recognize what English word comes from that. That's what's being described there. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. What is the idea of uncleanness? What is the, it doesn't have anything to do with something of taking a bath or washing your hair. It's a state of moral impurity. And I've explained to you the state our world is in. This is exactly the works of the flesh. You say, how do people do the things that they're doing? How do you see a world that is going away from God and just allows anything, it would seem? Well, it's because it's a work of the flesh. The flesh, my friend, is capable of doing anything. And you see that. Go by the prisons. Go by the places where people have committed crimes. Just this week, someone drives a truck into a crowd in New Orleans and kills 10 people. Or I think it was 10. What in the world? 15. Why would you do such a thing? The work of the flesh. It's capable of anything. And so the Bible is telling us, why would we ever walk in these ways? In adultery, fornication, uncleanness, moral impurity. Not only physical acts, but thoughts and desires and lifestyle. Impurity is an idea of uncleanness. It signifies lack of spiritual purity and is considered a work of the flesh. Morally, physical acts and thoughts and desires and lifestyles. I'm trying to figure out how long I want to park here. But we live in a world that is dominated by this. Your movies, your TV shows. I don't have my phone with me. There it is right there. Your phones. Dominated by these things. Well, many of those are works of the flesh. And the Bible is telling us, don't walk in these things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and then lasciviousness. Is that a word y'all use daily? Right? Lasciviousness. What does that mean? The idea of lasciviousness is lewdness or lustful desires. The world is also dominated by impurity and by lustful desires. But where do those come from? They're coming from the flesh. They are works of the flesh, not works of the Spirit, but works of the flesh. And so he says in verse number 19, these are the works. This is what they look like. Adultery and fornication and uncleanliness and lasciviousness. Those are works that are coming from your own sinful desires. Don't you wish we were done? But there's another verse. He continues on. As you go through this verse, a portion of Scripture, he says this, idolatry. Idolatry, that is putting something in God's place. In putting something in front of God. Now, I know here in America, we don't have statues necessarily that we have idol worship, but boy, we sure have our fair set of idols. Money, fame, celebrityism, whatever you want to call it, those are idolatry. Anything that would be put ahead of God. Witchcraft, that which is according to Satan in his ways, witchcraft, that which goes after the things of evil. And then in verse number 20, now listen, I mean, we've hit some pretty heavy things here, I think. Adultery, fornication, he says, lasciviousness, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft. But you want another work of the flesh is? Hatred. Uh-oh. You start hating people? That's not a work of the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Don't get mad at me. This is what God's Word says. When you start hating people, may we say, I just hate that person, right? That's the flesh. That's not the work of the Spirit. That's the work of the flesh. Hatred is a work of the flesh in our hearts. As a Christian, we should not practice hatred. Understand that as, and again, I know that people say, well, what about that which is evil? I understand that. The Bible says to hate that which is evil, but at the same time, there's people who need to know the love of Christ. Does not God say He is love and yet He is also holy at the same time? And so, as Christians, we should practice the work of the Spirit, not the work of the flesh, where He says idolatry, witchcraft, and hatred. But what about variance? Variance, what in the world does that mean? You think, Josh, you and your King James Version, right? If you just used a different one, we wouldn't have all these words you need to explain. What does variance mean? It refers to strife and discord and contention, essentially meaning a spirit of disagreement, division, and quarreling within a community. That's what it means. A spirit of division, of quarreling within a community. It's stemming from pride and self-interest. That's a work of the Spirit. You know what I think the world needs? I think the world needs united Christians that would band together, that would reach the world with the gospel of Christ. Sometimes, not always, sometimes we are so busy within our own building that we forget to go out of it. Do you know that? And sometimes we can be so busy in quarreling and strife among Christians. And listen, it happens everywhere. I'm aware of those things. And the devil loves to bring division and strife into churches because he knows if he can do that, they're not going to do anything good. Amen? I mean, that's the truth. You know, I can attest to that. I've seen those things. And so as a Christian, as a pastor, as a believer, we want to not have idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, the idea of quarreling. Christians, I joke about this, but again, I'll remind you, if you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be together for a long time. It's called eternity. If you're going to heaven, don't you want to see what God could do on this earth with a group of Christians that are all working together in the same direction for the same cause, for the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, in reaching the world with His gospel? That's what we should be about. Imagine what we could do as a church and as Christians if we'd move in the same direction and be of the same mind. And I preached that when I first got here. The only way that that happens is that we all align ourselves with the truth of Scripture. Because we all have different ideas, don't we? I like blue, can you tell? Right? Some of you don't. Leslie likes green. I don't know, I'm just kidding. You know, some people like different colors. Everybody has different things and different ideas. But we have to all bring those things together to the truth of Scripture that we be led in the same direction. So a work of the flesh is a variance or strife or discord or contention among one another. He continues on. Oh, Paul, please. I mean, I'm done. I'm already beat to a pulp here. As I'm going through these verses. The works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Well, what about emulation? Emulation. What does that mean? It's a self-serving passion that involves jealousy, envy, and hatred and strife. It's the work of the flesh that a Christian should guard against. And so in verse number 19, adultery, fornication. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, and emulation. Emulation is the work of the flesh, jealousy, envy, hatred, and covetousness. It's wanting what somebody else has. It's being jealous over what somebody else has. It's desiring to try to work to where you have what they have. That's a work of the flesh, often rooted in jealousy, emulation. He continues on to verse number 20, emulations, wrath. I know this is a long list, all right? You say, Josh, you usually only have 3 points. Yeah, I know it's longer today, but we have more words here. What does wrath mean? That spirit of anger, right? Where I told you the story when I was in New Mexico that I was the only youth pastor allowed into Moriarty High School. And those kids in there, they always wanted to fight. And here I am, I'm 20, how old was I? 25, 26, something like that. Man, those were the good old days. I was young. And anyway, and I was walking through the hall one day, and I just accidentally bumped shoulder with this high schooler, and he's trying to beat me up in the hallway. I'm just a youth pastor there trying to have lunch with the kids from church, and here I am about to be in a fight. The only time I went to a professional sports game, I went to the Thanksgiving Day game, Dallas Cowboys versus New York Jets, all right? Colin was a little baby. It started snowing on that day, and here I took one of my teenagers from New Mexico, and we're leaving the stadium, and lo and behold, if he doesn't start running his mouth to some of the other fans, and I'm pushing Colin in the stroller, right, just having a good time, and my teenager from my youth group is about to get in a fight with a Jets fan. And it was so close that I told Joanna, here, take Colin, and here the youth pastor is about to get beat up outside the Dallas Cowboys Stadium trying to protect my teenager from the youth group, right? Just that spirit of, you know, let's fight, right? Oh, yeah, let's fight about it, okay? That's the spirit of the flesh, he says, of wrath, strife. Those things kind of go together, wrath and strife, where it's just a constant attitude of strife, disagreement and just rubbing things the wrong way. That's the way of the flesh. Seditions implies actively trying to create conflict. Why is he writing all these things, right? Because the flesh can do all kinds of things, he says. Seditions, actively trying to create conflict, or disagreement. He said all those are the works of the flesh, strife, seditions, and heresies. He continues on in verse 21. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for him to stop. I've had enough. Paul, please. I know already how bad this is. I know that sometimes I put things in front of God that I shouldn't. I'm aware that sometimes I want what somebody else has. I know sometimes that I understand in my life that I can cause strife. Even in your marriage, even in your life, maybe in a church, maybe in your family, those ideas, those are things that the flesh does. Oh, but he's not done. Verse 21, envyings, murders, murderers. Now, I think we'd understand that's a work of the flesh. I would hope you'd recognize that. Drunkenness, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Drunkenness is a work of the flesh. I grew up on the Navajo Indian Reservation. I've seen what alcohol can do. When I was a kid, it was nothing for me. I had a three-wheeler that I would drive on the reservation, and I would see Native American people just laying there. I didn't even stop because it happened every day. It was nothing new. They took hairspray and emptied it into water and would drink it. Listerine, you had to have an ID to buy. Because of that, I've never tasted alcohol. I've seen what it does. Never even tasted. You say, Josh, you are so boring. I don't think so. Because I know what it does. And I know where it can lead. And it can be dangerous. And I saw what it can do. So I never tasted it. So the Bible says drunkenness, revelings, And he continued on. He says, of such like of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past, they which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's describing people that don't know the Lord. He's describing people that act as though they don't know the Lord. And when we live these ways, even as Christians, when we allow the flesh to dominate our lives, we are acting as though that we don't know the Lord also. But then we get to the good part. The part that people will be more excited to hear, right? Because that's a hard list. But nevertheless, it breaks us down to get ready to be built back up. Because let me tell you something, there is a way to walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. There is a way to produce fruit for the Lord, even though you have maybe done some of these things in the past. There's a way to not live according to the flesh and the power of the flesh. There is a way to live in the power of God, that you would not live according to your flesh, because you know what? According to this list, the flesh is not doing any good for you. It can lead you so far away you wouldn't believe it. And so then the Apostle Paul begins in verse number 22, where he says this, but, I love that word in Scripture, but, he's saying, all right, this is what the flesh looks like, but there's also another side to this story. Monty, I didn't give you this verse, but put this on there for me quickly. Hosea chapter 14 and verse number 8. And I'm not going to go all the way into the fruits of the Spirit, but I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction. Hosea 14, 8, the Bible, God is speaking to Ephraim, referring to Israel. He says, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. Now look at this at the end of verse number 8. From me is thy fruit found. So here's where we have to begin to live as Christians. Hosea says, from me is thy fruit found. And I'm going to share with you truths as we go through these fruits of the Spirit that are going to help you understand how to live by the power of the Spirit. And it starts with that little phrase, from me is thy fruit found. When I live for God, let me tell you something, I am not trying to beat my flesh into subjection. Because my flesh is not going to be beat into subjection. The Bible says, I don't live according to the flesh. I live according to the Spirit. And the Spirit begins to produce in me that which I am not naturally. And that's where most Christians get hung up. We get hung up with the idea, I'm going to walk off the stage here. We get hung up with the idea that every day we're trying to retrain our flesh. And God says, no, you're not retraining that thing. Look at what he looks like. It's a murderer, idolater. He's strife, envy, murderer. That's what he is, and he's always going to be that way. You live according to the Spirit of God, by the power of the Spirit of God. And let me tell you something, Christian. That's when it really gets fun to be a Christian. Because you start realizing it's not about me. Without the power of the Spirit of God, you're frustrated, you're discouraged, because you're making all these New Year's resolutions to read your Bible 2 chapters a day, and you're failing, right? And you're already 20 chapters behind, and you don't know what to do. But the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, because guess what? It's not me anymore. It's the Spirit of the living God in me that begins to produce love. I can't love Joanna the way I should without God. I can't have joy in my life. And you listen, without God's joy, my joy is like a roller coaster, right? Up and down, round and round we go. But with God and the Spirit of God, he can produce joy in my life like I've never seen. He can produce love in my life, joy in my life. How about peace? You ever been fearful, worried, nervous, wondering what the future holds? The Spirit produces peace. Christian, Galatians 5 is going to explain to us what the fruit of the work of the Spirit is. And I pray by the time we get done with this study from Galatians 5, we will see what it looks like to be a Christian and how to live as a Christian by the power of the Spirit of God. I don't want to go back to 16 through 21. I don't want to live like that. I want to live in the power of the Spirit of God. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Joanna and Bethany are going to come and play a song for us. I just have a simple challenge for you. And I know we kind of had an introductory type sermon today, but this is what I would ask for you to pray there in your seat this morning. God, open my eyes to Spirit-filled living. Open my eyes that I would live by the Spirit of God. Maybe you're here today and you've been living according to the flesh. You've been living by your own power and your own strength, and you are frustrated and you are tired of trying to do it on your own. Friend, maybe today's the day to say, God, I want to live by your power and I want to see your fruit in my life, that it would be exhibited in me. And the world would be amazed to see churches and Christians that are united behind the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God within us. Just take a moment there in your seat to pray. Help me to live by the Spirit's power. I don't want to live in the flesh anymore. I don't want to act like that. I want to live by the power of the Spirit. I'm going to give you a little hint of what we're going to be talking about next week, because maybe some of us are in bondage to this flesh. I say, well, how do I not live that way? If I've been living this way, how do I live by the power of the Spirit? We're going to talk about how Christ has set us free from the bondage of the flesh, that now we have been set free from its power through the work of Christ to live according to the Spirit. So what we'll do at this time, we're going to bow our heads and have a word of prayer. After we pray, we are having a brief business meeting. If you need to go, or if you're a non-member, if you need to be dismissed, that'd be fine. After we pray, if you want to do that. And we certainly are glad you are here today. We love each and every one of you. It's good to see your smiling faces. Are you smiling? Not after that. Oh, my goodness. After the works of the flesh, how can I smile? But there is hope in the Spirit. So we'll bow our heads. We'll have a word of prayer. And if you need to be dismissed, that'd be fine. Then we'll have a brief vote. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, how did you think of all these things to do for us? Not only did you save us through Christ, but now you're going to give us the very power to live for you. Now you are going to produce fruit in our lives as we yield and surrender to your strength. You're amazing. Your word is amazing. And Lord, as us as Christians begin to realize these truths, help them to be applied to our lives, that we would live tomorrow by your strength. That it wouldn't be our love, but yours. That it wouldn't be our joy or the world's joy, because boy, that is fleeting. But it would be your joy that's within us, and your peace and your patience. Lord, we pray that you would produce these fruits in our lives, and that we would be willing vessels to be molded into the image of our Savior. It's in his name we ask these things. Amen.